This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
In 2018, researchers at the IMF released a paper entitled, "How Well Do Economists Forecast Recessions?" In the author's summary, they highlight that economists tend to miss recessions just as they tend to miss strong economic booms, providing suggestive evidence that behavioral factors, the reluctance to accept either good or bad news, might play a role in the evolution of forecasts. Today, as I read the financial media, there appears to be more economists calling for a US recession by the end of this year or into 2023. And the narrative goes something like this. As central banks in Canada, the United States, and other countries around the world embark on their interest rate normalization to tame inflation, or in other words, as interest rates go up, economies will slow to the point of recession. But is that it? Is a recession solely determined by central banks increasing interest rates? Could economists today be overly fixated on the half-empty glass of the economy? Let's take a closer look. I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist for IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as I discuss our views on the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of May 23rd, so listen on as we navigate the living market. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that, from my perspective, there was little risk of recession in the next 12 months. A recession doesn't just happen out of the blue. Historically, recessions have been preceded by certain economic conditions. These are some of the ones that I pay attention to. The first is the shape of the US Treasury yield curve. What we're looking for here is an inversion of this yield curve. That's when short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates, and it tends to signal economic weakness. An inverted yield curve has preceded every recession since 1970. And while we did see an inversion of the 10-year, 2-year curve for 3 days at the beginning of April, the yield curve typically remains inverted for a period of 3 months in advance of a recession. Further, we tend to see an inversion between both the 10 and 2-year interest rate spread, as well as the 10-year, 3-month interest rate spread, and that hasn't been the case this year. The 10-year yield has remained significantly higher than the 3-month yield. Another sign that I pay attention to is manufacturing output. Measured by the ISM PMI Manufacturing Index, this index tends to contract in advance of a recession, or that is, the economy produces less stuff, be it cars, furniture, computers, and so on. Now, it's not a perfect indicator. Sometimes the contraction comes before recession and sometimes during. And sometimes, like in 2015, we see manufacturing contract without an economic recession at all. But today, manufacturing in the United States continues to expand. It is expanding at a slower pace than a year ago, but its current level would not suggest a near-term recession. Next is residential investment, or housing starts. This is an important component to the US economy. According to the National Association of Home Builders, for every 1,000 average single-family homes created, 2,900 full-time jobs are also created. Or think of it this way, 3 jobs for every 1 new house built. Increasing housing starts are good for the economy. The month-over-month change in housing starts can be quite volatile due to weather and other factors, so I prefer to use the 12-month moving average of housing starts, which has been steadily increasing through this year. And there's never been a recession when housing starts are climbing on a 12-month moving average. Following that is credit conditions. Now think of this as the availability to access loans. When the Chicago Fed credit conditions subindex is above zero, it indicates that credit conditions are tight. This often happens in advance of a recession. Credit conditions have tightened as interest rates have increased, but yet again, we're not at the level that would indicate a pending recession. Lastly, the Conference Board U.S. Leading Index is an index of 10 economic variables that tends to move before changes in the overall economy. It has fallen negative in advance of every recession going back to 1970, on average about 6 months before the potential recession. The index currently has a positive year-over-year rating of 4.7. Again, no evidence of a pending recession. Now, I do believe we are headed towards the next recession. As soon as one recession ends, obviously you're moving towards the next one. That's what makes an economic cycle, but the data wouldn't suggest it's within the next 12 months. If I'm wrong, then we're heading into a recession unlike anything that we've seen in the last 50 years, which seems rather unlikely. That brings us to the current market correction. Could it be signaling a pending recession? In my view, the current market volatility is less a confirmation of a pending recession and more a reflection of what was an overvalued market in the face of higher inflation and higher interest rates at the start of the year. More like the correction in the fourth quarter of 2018 than the recessionary bear market of the great financial crisis. As economist Paul Samuelson famously said, the stock market has predicted 9 of the past 5 recessions. The stock market is notoriously bad at predicting recessions, and this time feels no different. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.